Simon Reish, Sandy Aleph, 291 in Yerodeam. A number of very pertinent and important things relating to mezuzah. Probably the main issue, the two most important issues raised when it comes to mezuzah. Forget about where it's put up or things like that. But the major issue of checking mezuzahs. Should I check the mezuzah? Should I not check the mezuzah? Those types of issues we'll discuss in a moment. And then again, the most complicated issue when it comes to issues of Beinanu L'Chaveiro, and that is someone who moves and wants to take the mezuzahs with them. And has that impact someone coming in? And if there's going to be a fight and a debate, I do want the mezuzahs, I don't want the mezuzahs. So we'll try to clarify that very important sugya as well. Certainly appropriate for the 9 days when we want to work on our Beinanu L'Chaveiro. And sometimes there are major issues of machlokas when it comes to the issue of moving in and out of a house with the mezuzah. Let's begin. The Gemara in Yuma Yeralev tells us, mezuzos yachid nivdekes pamim b'shavua, once, twice in 7 years, a person should check the personal mezuzah. The sharabim pamim b'yovel, twice in 50 years, a person should check the mezuzah that belong in a public domain. Rashi says there are two reasons we check the mezuzah. One is to make sure the mezuzah has not become pasul, and the second is to verify that nobody came and stole the mezuzah and put up an empty case on your door. The Ritva cites Rashi again, who says that when it comes to the mezuzah of a public place, why is it that we have such a larger degree of space and time when it comes to checking the mezuzah that belongs to a public facility? And the Ritva says, because we do not want to be matriach the tzibur to check it often. It's a burden to have to go and take down the mezuzah so often for the public domain. Tosa says, we don't want there to be a sakana. And if I take down the mezuzah from public domain, there'll be a time in which there will be possible sakana in this area where the public comes together. The Sefer Eshkol in Hilchos Mezuzah says that the mezuzah of the tzibor will be better kept because people will pay attention to it and people will be more concerned about it, and therefore that's why we don't need to check it that often. But the mezuzah of the yachid, of the personal space, perhaps we will not be as careful in how the mezuzah is being guarded, and therefore it's important to check it more often. Is this a Torah level issue of checking it, or is it a rabbinic issue? Says the Emek Brach of Pomeranchik, the Talmud of the Risk Rav, in Hilchos Mezuzah, in Simon Yud Alf, this is certainly a rabbinic law, because Mida Oraisa, we have a principle of Chazaka, and once the kosher mezuzah was put up, certainly it should go on forever. We should assume it is kosher. And the proof, he says, is that the mezuzah sharabim doesn't need a bedika twice in 7 years. The fact that we make differences between whether it's a yachid or a tzibur, public or private, indicates to us that Chazal are coming in and making rules arbitrary based on their understanding. But it's not a Torah level commandment to have the mezuzahs checked. There are about 7 different areas that come up when one should check the mezuzah. We'll go from least common to most common. The Yosef Omeitz writes in Ostaf Ayin Tes that twice in 7 years means once 3.5 years, meaning every 3.5 years, and twice every 25, once every 25 years for a public domain. Meaning that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you simply randomly pick, you know, in year one, when I put in the mezuzah, I'll check it, and in year two, I'll check it again, and then I'll be free for 5 years, and then I don't have to check it anymore. No. It means that it should be balanced every equal opportunity of 3.5 versus 25 years. And this is also in the mezuzahs Beisach and the Agav Balach as well. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Valei Lo Yibol in Chelek Beis felt it doesn't have to be exactly. It could be 3 years, 4 years, but some sort of balance when it comes to checking. Yeah.
Why would the Lashon be twice every 7 years? Exactly 3.5.
Why not say once every 3.5 years? My assumption is going to be because 7 years is considered a nice unit of time in halacha, 50 years is considered a nice unit of time in halacha, and therefore they're just giving such a frame that we balance things within terms of 7 years or 50 years, and that seems to be the assumption of the Yosef Omeitz, but not exactly. Because then what would be the purpose of the bedika to check it, you know, twice in the first 2 years and then do nothing for 5 years? Like, how would that... how would that help you? It should be in a balanced manner. The Aruch HaShulchan here says that if it was very moist around the mezuzah, not necessarily raining, but it was very damp and humid, so then it requires more bedikos. The Shaar HaTzion and the Agra B'Halacha say if it rains a lot on the mezuzah, it should be checked more often because there's a greater chashash of damage. The Agra B'Halacha in Perek Lamed Tes says if you painted over the mezuzah by accident and now all this paint is sitting on top of the case and could seep in, it is a good idea to check it as well. Rohan Kanievsky cites the Maseches Mezuzah that says, whenever you move to another location, you should check the mezuzahs as well. Why should moving have anything to do with checking the mezuzahs? So Rohan Kanievsky says that either once you move, the Cheskas Kashrus is taken away. That's one approach. It had a Cheskas Kashrus when it was on the wall. But once I take it down and it's not on the wall anymore, so the assumption that it's kosher is removed at that time. In addition, he says, perhaps when you took it down, there's a chashash that you damaged the mezuzah when it was removed from the wall, and therefore you should check it again. Yeah. No, when you move. If you move from house A to house B, the Maseches Mezuzah says that it needs to be checked. The one that you take with you. That could be a proof that you're allowed to take your mezuzahs. I don't think so, but one could possibly read it that way. Now, the problem with this explanation of Chaim Kanievsky is that according to the latter reason that there's a chashash that it's going to be damaged, that means every single time you take off your mezuzah, you should check it. That's how it comes out. According to Chaim Kanievsky and Maseches Mezuzah, every single time you take off the mezuzah, then let's say you want to take off the mezuzah because you want to show someone, you know, the klaf inside, or for whatever reason. So according to that, you should have to check the mezuzah. Yeah.
I assumed you meant that when you think you have to move, things are coming and going and traveling. That's not like take it down and throw somebody, take it off, okay, put that cup.
You think within the process of moving things around?
Right.
So let's say, meaning you think that's lost.
No, here. Like it gets misplaced, gets on top of this cabinet, on top of this cabinet, in this drawer.
Then, why is misplacing it needed for
a mezuzah? It gets crushed.
That's
it.
So you want to say in that case he wouldn't require to check it. Oh, here, yeah. So that's correct. According to Cheskas Kashrus, I agree. But according to the reason that when you take it off, it becomes damaged. It's one reason, meaning when the Cheskas Kashrus is removed, because when you take it off to move, it could be damaged. I don't think he writes it that way, but it could be what he's saying. There's a tshuva in the Shevet HaKahasi in Chelek Aleph, where he gives a different explanation. He says that this din is only going on in Mezuzah Shel Rabim. The entire Maseches Mezuzah statement is going on the mezuzah of a public domain. And that mezuzah is not checked often because, as we said, it's a tircha, to have to check it that often. And therefore the Shevet HaKahasi says, in the case of the public mezuzah, if I'm moving, so then the tircha doesn't exist anymore since I already took it off. And that's why it needs to be checked. Meaning, you're not supposed to check the mezuzah of a public domain that often because it's a tircha. But if I'm going to take it off because I'm moving, so then the tircha doesn't exist anymore. And once it's off and there's no tircha, therefore it should be checked. That's how he explains the Maseches Mezuzah. It's only talking about that specific case. The Mat Ephraim in Tuf Kuf Pei Aleph in Sif Yud, by the Halachas of Rosh Hashanah and Elul, cited also by the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Chav Ches, says there's a minhag to check mezuzahs in Elul. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a Sicha in Parshas Rei in Tuf Shin Mem Ches, where he says that this is based on the idea of Ksiva V'chasima Tova, right? That we wish each other we should have written and inscribed for a good year, and therefore we want to make sure that the ksav on our mezuzah is tov as well. And that's why it's in to check it by Elul. When someone in a house is sick, as there's tzaras, as we know, there's a midrash in Klal Yisrael to check the mezuzahs. This is brought in the later svarim that discuss hilchos mezuzah. They discuss the mezuzahs malachim, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions this idea, the minhag to check mezuzahs when someone is going through a difficult time. It was a very, very popular approach of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in his letters. Very often, the Rebbe in his letters suggests to people to check the letters. He discusses to check the mezuzahs. He discusses with issues of shalom bias, infertility, pregnancy, giving birth, shidduchim, children off the derech, parnasa, anxiety, and all these different things. Lubavitcher Rebbe recommends to people to check mezuzahs. There's a famous maisa with Reb Zilberstein of the young man who is having trouble controlling He was eating, and he was having trouble eating too much, and he was always eating and eating and eating, and he could never stop. And he checked the mezuzahs, and where it said ve'achalta v'savat, it said ve'achalta v'achalta, and therefore they changed it, and that solved the problem. So I'm not sure about the veracity of the story, but there is such a minhag in Klal Yisrael. What exactly are we checking when we check mezuzahs? And this we discussed for a little bit when Rabbi Open joined us. But let's see what we find here in Shulchan Aruch. The Pisgei Tshuva here in Sifkas and Gimel sites, the Chassam Sofer in Yerodea, Kuf Pei Gimel, that we are checking to see whether the mezuzah is damaged or stolen, as Rashi said, and that is it, whether the mezuzah is damaged or stolen. You have to look at the letters to see if they're still intact, and it doesn't require an expert in chaseros v'yaseros of the Torah. You don't have to know exactly if it's a mezuzah with a vav or without a vav. You don't have to have that expertise. You just need to see if the mezuzah is physically kosher. But you must open it and have to look at every single letter. Rosh Shlomo Zalman v'alei lo yibol m'chelik beis says there's no reason to bring in a sofer to check the mezuzahs. And this is the understanding of most poskim, that one does not have to be a sofer in order to check the mezuzahs. There is a sheet of the Prima Gadim in Or Chaim Siman Lamed Tes by Hilchos Tfilin who says, Hamar belivdok misofrei mumcha hareza meshubach. If you do bring the mezuzah to a sofer to check, that would be preferable. And this is what the Agra Balacha writes as well in Perek Yotes. Now, just to review what Rabbi Open told us. Rabbi Open said that that is assuming that the mezuzah that was put in the first time was kosher. If you know that the mezuzah is kosher the first time, then you can simply open it up yourself and check, and that would be fine according to most poskim. But if one has horror stories of mezuzahs not being appropriate, and one has to rely on their own sofer, what is kosher l'chatchil b'diavad, so then one has to assume, he has to make sure that the mezuzah put in the first time was reliable and that it was kosher. The mezuzah Pesach and Sifkat and Dalad says one should also check to see if the sirtut, the lines, were not erased. And the Sheir HaLevi in Chelek Beis says the minhag olam is that we don't check the Sefer Torah to see if the sirtut is still there, and therefore we wouldn't do the same thing by a mezuzah as well. And therefore, one does not have to worry if the sirtut is intact or not. The Leket Hilchos Mezuzah discusses whether the mezuzah needs to be checked if it was hermetically sealed with a fancy machine that sucks out all the air so nothing can get inside to the piece of plastic. So he cites Rav Yashuv as being lenient and not requiring a bedikah on such a mezuzah ever, because we know that nothing would ever get inside of it. The Halicha Shlomo says if you insert the mezuzah into a doorpost and it's sealed up inside a glass container and no damage could ever get there, it doesn't need to be checked either to check it twice in 7 years. Baruch Han Knievsky and Ravisin Karelitz are machmir, and they say that it's not just about moisture, there's also temperature. The hermetic seal around the mezuzah, or being airtight, does not affect temperature. And temperature can also damage the mezuzah. Yes? What about it? According to other Shita and Rashi. I guess you could open it up and just look at it. That would be sufficient to know that. Now, what is a yachid versus a rabbim? How do we distinguish whether the building we're talking about is the mezuzah that would require twice in 7 years or twice in 50 years? So the Bach and the Chassam Sofer cited over here in the Pisgei Tshuva say that a mezuzah on a building where there's shutfus, where there are a number of people joined in the ownership, is still a mezuzah shel yachid. It's still in individual ownership. And this is cited by the Aruch HaShulchan, the Agra Baalecha. And the Bach says that a mezuzah shel rabbi means something like the gates to a public courtyard or to a city or a province. A very, very, very public type of place. But if you have a private space that is shared by a number of people, that is not sufficient to move it from 7 years to 25 years. Let's discuss a number of questions. What about an entrance to a stairwell for public use? Okay, you live in an apartment building and there's a mezuzah that goes to the stairwell that's owned by the entire apartment building. So the Agra Baalecha in Perek Lamed Tes, based on his understanding of the Bach, says this is a mezuzah shel rabbim since it opens into other private areas. Meaning, a public mezuzah means an entranceway that goes to other private areas where the private people use this public domain. Rav Vosner writes in the Kovetz Mibeis Levi and the Shiva Kasi and Chelek Dalad, all say that this is a mezuzah of a yachid on a stairwell in a private building. And the Bir Halacha, Rav Zilber in Yerodea, he has a good explanation, he has a good measurement to know whether something is private or public. He says that if someone was walking around the building and you would turn to them and say, who are you and why are you here? So that means that it's a private space. But the space is as such that if random people walk around all the time and no one would question someone being there, so that is a public domain, which I think is a nice litmus test to look at it, meaning if it's expected that random people walk in there, then that would be public, but if someone would question why someone would be there, so that would be private. The Shari Mezuzah says if there's a Vad HaBayis, there's someone in charge of that area, in that complex, then it's considered a Bayis Shel Yachid, and if it's Hefker, then that would be a Bayis Shel Rabbin. What's the status of a Bayis Medrash, or a Shul? How do we view the Mezuzah in such a place? So the Agar Ba'alacha, based on the Chassam Sofer, says it's a Makom Shel Rabbin. Even if there are Gabayim in charge of the Bayis Medrash and the Shul, it's used for public consumption. And the Shari Mezuzah in Parachaf says that it's a Bayis Medrash in which the Gabayim are in charge of, so that's a Bayis Medrash, that's a place of a Yachid. If the Gabayim check and look over a place and they take care of something, so that's a private area. The Chovas Hador says, no, it's Mesabra that a Bayis Medrash and a Bayis HaKnesses is of Rabbin, but maybe the Gabayim are paid, that it becomes Shel Yachid. And the Bir Halacha says, talking about maybe a private Bayis Medrash should be Machmer and Shek 7 years, so all these different permutations, one has to look into it. Next, if one decides to check their mezuzahs, do you need to put up interim mezuzahs in place? Do you need to have stand-ins while your real mezuzahs are being checked? So, the Emek Bracha of Pomeranchik says that Chazal did not burden us to get additional mezuzahs when having to check the mezuzahs we have. We find nowhere where Chazal told us you have to have place in mezuzahs. And he says, Yesh koach b'yad chacham lakar davar min haTorah b'shei v'yal tasa. Chazal can simply say that at this moment, when your mezuzahs are being checked, you don't have to follow the mitzvah mezuzah right now. We simply put it on hold, and one does not need to put up mezuzahs in their place for that short amount of time. And this is cited in the Pisachei Mezuzahs, and this is the understanding of the Shari Mezuzah as well. The Shevet HaKahasi in the Chelek Aleph says that you don't have to replace all the mezuzahs, but you should at least have one replacement on the entrance to the house. So the house should not be bereft of any type of shmir or any protection at all. You should at least have one replacement mezuzah up at that time. And Rephaim Greenblatt in the Rivos Ephraim in Chelek Hay in Tafkuf Memches says that once you are informed by the sofer that your mezuzahs are ready, you must go as soon as possible. You cannot say, I have to go take the errands now, I'll get them tomorrow. You need to go get them as soon as possible to go put your mezuzahs back up. And he writes that when people came to me to check mezuzahs, I tell them, wait a few moments. He opens the mezuzahs right then and there. He checks them and he gives them back to them. And if one is puzzled, he has a replacement and he gives it to them. And Shalom Yisrael. The sofer, he says, needs to be responsible to check the mezuzahs as soon as possible so the people can put them up immediately. On the other hand, Rav Shermbach and Shulz van August and Chelek Alf and Tof Reish Mem Gimel has a Havamina, maybe it's not so bad, but he rejects it and says, you're chayiv in a mitzvah min haTorah to have mezuzahs. How can you simply not put a mezuzah there? And therefore you should borrow mezuzahs, and if a person owns the home, this is certainly min haTorah. Maybe we could be mekel by a rental, which might be midirabana, and you don't have to put it up immediately. And he brings similar svaras along this line. The Agar Ba'alecha is even more machmer. He says that even a rental needs to replace a mezuzah. And based on the above, the Agar Ba'alecha says that you should remove and check mezuzahs one at a time, which can be very time-consuming and somewhat annoying to go back and forth to the sofa. But he says you should check mezuzahs one at a time. Rivos Ephraim says that Rav David Feinstein told him that when Rav Moshe checked his mezuzahs, he would take them off all at once and would not keep them up one at a time. And the Rivos Ephraim continues, Pok chazi mai amadvar tetamin moridim hakol bepamecha subodkim. We take all the mezuzahs down and we check them before the mat. That is the minhag olam, and therefore it would seem that the minhag is not to put up replacement mezuzahs and simply check them all at once and then put them back up as soon as possible. That would be the usual mahalach. We discussed the issue of a bracha in that case already in the past. Let's get now to the more controversial issue of taking mezuzahs when you move. Yeah. Okay, great. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia Kuf Beis Amud Aleph that if Reuven rented a house to Shimon, Shimon has to put up the mezuzah, and when Shimon leaves, he doesn't take the mezuzah with him. And then the Gemara says, if a guy owns the house, if a guy is going to own the house, so then the Jew should take the mezuzahs with him as well. And then the Gemara tells a story about a man who took the mezuzah with him, and his family, Rachman al-Tzlam, passed away, and Mikan Raya. So says the Gemara, this is a proof. That's a proof that you shouldn't. That's not a proof. That's a proof that you should not take the mezuzah with you. Not that you're allowed to. So the Gemara says that this is just telling us in the case where Yisrael owned the house, he should not take the mezuzah with him when selling to Yisrael. But in the case of a guy is moving in, then you're allowed to take the mezuzahs. Why are we so careful about taking the mezuzahs with us? So we have two opinions. One is the Shiltas in Simon Kuf Chavav. The Shiltas says that it's a bizayin to the mezuzah that it was being used, and now it's not going to be used anymore. And Tosfos in Bava Metzia says that now it's rather not fair to the new owners, that there's going to be mazikim and sakana and potential damage, that the new owners are not going to have a mezuzah in place when they come in. Yeah.
Previous topic, if you put up replacing mezuzahs, is it enough to keep them up when the other ones are ready, or take them down when your original ones are done?
Why would you take them down? Meaning to keep up La Olam Vod?
You have a set of mezuzahs that you have for, in your house, you take them down to check them, and you put up replacing mezuzahs, right? So when your original mezuzahs are ready, you're going to take down the previous ones and put up your original ones?
Yeah.
Or a mahudr, or?
Well,
is there, I mean, I saw they're supposed to say different things. Is there a minhag of what it's supposed to do?
Well, let's wait off on a second on that. We'll get back to it at the end. So we have two reasons here. The Shulta said again that you should. The issue is that it's designed to the mezuzah that it's being taken down and not used. And Tosa says it's not fair to the people moving in that they're going to have sakana. Yeah. But we're going to get to it. So the Birka Yosef, cited here in the Pische Shuv and Sifkat and Zion, says the nafkamina is a person in a situation where he cannot get other mezuzahs. I have no choice. If I don't take mezuzah with me and I'm moving to the middle of Idaho and I can't get mezuzahs out there, so what am I going to do? I have to take them with me. So he says, in such a case, you can rely on the shiltas to take the mezuzahs with you since you're going to use them right away, and you can ignore the fact that you're putting the new tenants in danger. Yeah.
So you have a chiyuv to buy new mezuzahs.
We'll discuss buying them what?
What I'm saying. You're, how is that a good time that you might not be able to where you're going? So just buy new mezuzahs for where you're going.
Let's say you don't have new mezuzahs. Let's say in the situation where I don't have new mezuzahs right now, and I don't have mezuzahs where I'm going. I mean, I live in the Amazon rainforest, and I took my mezuzahs for the first time. And I'm moving out of the Amazon rainforest to go to the middle of the Sahara Desert. So when I'm moving, the Jewish tenant who's coming to the Amazon rainforest, so in that case, I can't leave with him, because I go to the Sahara, I'm not going to be able to have five mezuzahs out there. That's the very limited case we're talking about.
If you could buy where you are, then you would have to.
Seemingly, yeah. Okay, Rav Shmuel Monk in the Peah Sadcha, he was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in Chelek Aleph, so he discusses whether you can put up the mezuzahs on your house on a condition with a t'nai that you'll take them down later on. Can I put up mezuzahs al t'nai that I'm allowed to take them with me later? So he says that does not work, because the idea of making a t'nai, of making a condition, is something that comes to qualify one's das, one's intent. But in this case, the mezuzah has nothing to do with your das. It has nothing to do with your intent. The issue is the mezuzah being used or not? And therefore, even if I put up a mezuzah 20 years ago in my house, on the condition that I'm going to take them with me, and therefore they're mine, so that does not work, he says, in this specific case. The Chai Halevi, Rav Osner in Chelek Beis, has an interesting suggestion, which I think is good in the following case where one is in a short-term rental or a short-term space, and they do not want to have to give up the mezuzahs. He says, in such a case, you should simply borrow from the sofer or from the gemach mezuzahs. And then when your short term is over, you'll have to return them because they're not yours. And therefore, that will get you out of the problem. So if you're in a case where you know it's going to be short term and you do not want to have to buy mezuzahs and then give them up to somebody else, simply take mezuzahs from a gemach or a sofer, put them up in the short term lease or rental, and then when you leave, you're going to have to give them back to the sofer because they're not yours. Because as we know, the mezuzahs do not have to belong to you to fulfill the mitzvah. Yeah.
You have to do it, but you're still doing that problem. Like, you're putting yourself in a situation, you have to do something
usher. Why am I not doing anything usher? That's the best part.
Removing the mezuzah is still the same issue. Mazikin or the...
But they're not mine. I can't simply hand them over to the person. It's out of my control. If he wants to go to the sofa and talk to him or the gemach, that's his problem. But it's not my responsibility.
I'm assuming that in that case, you have to take them off. But you're like, you're putting yourself in a situation, you're going to have to take them off.
It's lush and hard. Late when I'm young,
no? So you only find 50 years to do this. So some, okay.
Yeah, it's not my fault anymore.
It's
a great harama. Okay, the best harama I've heard all day. What if the owner who is moving will immediately put up mezuzah in the new residence, which is what most people say? Well, why is it fair? I'm not going to be insulting the mezuzahs because I'm going to put them up immediately. And according to the Shiltis, that should be fine. There's not going to be any design. I'm going to take them that morning from house A, and that afternoon they're going to be on house B. Why is that an issue? So the Birke Yosef, cited here in the Pesachei Tshuva again, says there's a low plug Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, we're not mechalik, there's no difference, doesn't matter what you're doing. You cannot take the mezuzahs with you, even if you're going to put them up immediately when you get to the new place. And this is what Rav Osner says, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. The Ber Moshe, the Debrecin Rav, and Chel Gimel, and Kuf Pei Aleph, notes that the Birke Yosef brings no proof for this. Who says there's a low plug Rabbanan? You cannot simply apply a low plug and say we do not differentiate on your own. And therefore he says that the Shita Mekubetzas feels that it's mutter, and in this case, therefore, one can be lenient. According to the Debrecin Rav, if you're going to put the mezuzahs immediately, you can take the mezuzahs with you. That is kula number one that we should keep in mind. If you're leaving your previous residence, can you switch your mehudra mezuzahs for less mehudra mezuzahs? You have mezuzahs you bought for $300 a piece, and you don't want to give them to Chaim Yanko who's moving into your house. Why should you have my $300 mezuzahs? I'll give him $70 mezuzahs. They're kosher, but they're not mehudra. Can I switch them? So Rav Yitzchak Bamberger was the Würzburger Rav. He was the rabbi who had a machlokus with Rav Hirsch, whether the German community, the Orthodox community, should secede from the rest of the German community. They had a very lengthy public debate over what was proper. It should just be noted that the fact that we have the tshuvas of the Yad HaLevi is in thanks to the Netziv. Why? Because the Netziv has a famous tshuva in the Meisha Davar about a family of a Talmud Chacham where the father requested, before he was Nifter, that they take all of his writings and they dispose of them. That he did not feel that any of his Chidushei Torah, any of his tshuvas were worthwhile, and they should all be disposed of, burned, gotten rid of. And the family wrote a shaila to the Netziv asking whether we can listen to the father, or should we ignore the father? And the Netziv, as a tshuva in the Meisha Davar, he doesn't tell you who it's about, telling them that they do not have to listen to the father, and they can publish and keep the tshuvas and all the Chidushei Torah. The family was the family of the Würzburger Rav. So it's thanks to the Netziv that we have his tshuvas, that he told the children not to listen to the father. So he writes in the Yad HaLevi Yeradeya in Simen Kuf Pei Hei, that since this is an issue of sakana and chamira sakanasa mi yisura, we take sakana and putting people in danger very seriously, because he says, well, what's going to be? How do I know? It's not going to be the same level of mezuzah. Maybe it's less, not as great as a shmira, since the mezuzah is not as good. And therefore he says, you should not change more mehudra mezuzahs for less mehudra mezuzahs. And there are some poskim hor machmer as well. However, the Das Kedoshim here in Sifkat and Aleph writes there is no such issue, and therefore he suggests simply to, when you move, take all the mezuzahs off, the mehudra mezuzahs off, have them checked, and that will be enough to take them off, and then you'll simply put them up on the new house, and that will be fine, and leave the less mehudra ones in your old house. And this is the sheet of the Chalkas Yaakov, who says you can use a harama for a din d'rabbanan without question, and the Ber Moshe, and Rav Avi Yosef, and the Chavos Hador, everyone saying that you're allowed to put up less mehudra mezuzahs for your new tenants after you move out. Rav Moshe writes in Yerodea, Chelek Dal, Mem Dalid, that he heard a heter from Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin said that it's the minag yadua in America, that when you move into a house, what do? You paint the house, right? The house gets a fresh coat of paint. No one moves into a house in America without putting a fresh coat of paint. And therefore, says Rav Henkin, you can assume that the people moving to your house are going to put up a fresh coat of paint, and they're going to have to take off the mezuzahs anyway. And since the mezuzahs are going to have to be taken down, you can rely on this and take them, since they're going to have to be taken off the house anyway. And another kula to assume there's going to be a paint job after you move out. Which brings us to the last and probably the most important kula, and the one that most people do not know about. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Gimel, V'im afim ha'nichnas eno rotza l'shalem mikol makom asur lo litzlan. Even if the new person coming to the house does not want to pay for your mezuzahs, then it's still usur for you to take them, and you have to swallow the loss, thousands of dollars possibly, of not having these mezuzahs paid for and having to buy new mezuzahs. This is the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. However, the Chalkus Yaakov writes in Yerodea Simen Kuf Samach that we can rely on the Mekilim in our Sugya and simply take off the mezuzahs with you since you're going to need them for the new house. And the person who doesn't want to pay is stealing from you. And says the Chalkus Yaakov, why should I be more careful about Sakana than Gzela? Gzela is also pretty bad. Stealing is a very serious avera. And if the person takes my mezuzahs and doesn't pay for them, that is stealing, says the Chalkus Yaakov. And therefore, certainly, if the person is not willing to pay you for the mezuzahs, 100% you may take the mezuzahs with you without question. And therefore, when the question comes up nowadays, when people want to know, can I take the mezuzahs, based on the fact that you're going to put it up right away, combined with the idea that they're going to have the paint job being done and all these other factors, if the person doesn't want to pay you for the mezuzahs, so then certainly you should take your mezuzahs with you without question. And I have a sense that many people do not know about this Chalkus Yaakov, which is very important. So a person is usually scared, I have to buy mezuzahs, it's going to be expensive. No. If the person's not going to pay you, so then take the mezuzahs with you and that would be fine. Yeah.
Do you charge them what you bought it for 10 years later?
I would charge them what the going rate is for a mezuzah.
They're 10 years old. When you bought them, it was $100. Now they're older, so you charge
however much you would pay in the store.
Whatever you would pay for right now.
Yeah, how much you would pay for in the store right now for a mezuzah. Even if you sold, meaning older mezuzah. Yeah. If the sofer were to sell you, I could buy you a mezuzah made this year versus a mezuzah made 10 years ago. And the 10 years ago mezuzah cost $50 and the this year mezuzah cost $70. So it should be whatever the comparable price would be. Last, two more points. Okay. Moving into a house that already has a mezuzah. There's a very famous sheet of the Magen Avraham. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Tefillin Aruch Chaim Simen Yotes that there's no bracha on making tzitzis because it's a chovas hagavra. And therefore, there's no chiyuv to make them. There's only a bracha on the wearing and not the making. Comes along the Magen Avraham and says, starts questioning this. There is a chiyuv. There's not a chiyuv. A chovas hagavra, a chovas hachevtza. Is there a bracha on performing a mitzvah or not? And then the Magen Avraham raises the following possibility. And he says, Efshar, that we can have a situation like the mezuzah with the tzitzis, that perhaps you can simply have the idea that the mitzvah is on, just like wearing the tzitzis, there's a mitzvah on going into a house that has a mezuzah. And he writes, perhaps one should make the bracha shir kedushan mezuzah v'tzivanu, l'ador b'bayis sheyesh bo mezuzah. So says the Magen Avraham. One should make a bracha on a house that already has a mezuzah. Comes along the Birkei Yosef, and he writes there in Simen Yotes, the buyer has absolutely nothing to do with the mezuzah being there. It is true, the next person who comes in is fulfilling a mitzvah's mezuzah by living in a house, but he didn't create the mitzvah. He didn't do anything to make that mitzvah there, and the bracha is only established for mezuzah on the asiyas ha-mitzvah, the putting up of the mezuzah. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and says there is no source that there should ever be a bracha on going into a house that already has mezuzahs up. This is the sheet of the Har Tzvi, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Mincha Shlomo, and all the poskim as well. Just to discuss the sheet of the Magen Avraham, the Stei Chemed and the Mareches Mem in Klal Kufchav Zion has a discussion about this Magen Avraham and all the Achronim who argue with him, and he cites a tshuva of the Rashban. The Rashban is Rosh Shlomo Tzvi Shik. We'll discuss him in a moment. And he says that the Magen Avraham, when he brings this bracha, he brings the bracha without Shem Malchus in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, the Rashban says that clearly the Magen Avraham means that you should make the bracha mezuzah without Shem Malchus. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Just to be choshesh for the Shita, you should say Baruch Ata, Baruch, you should say Baruch, Asher Kedishan Mezuzah V'sivan L'ador B'vay Sheish B'mezuzah, without Shem Hashem. And the Stei Chemed says, this is tsas dachuk. This is a little bit difficult. the kavod gadol to the stechemet. I think it's more than tzas dachuk. There's very problematic issues with this. First of all, the Magen Avraham said that the bracha is being compared to tzitzis. Just like you do by tzitzis, so you should do by mezuzah. So by tzitzis, you make a bracha b'shem malchus. In addition, there's no issue of saying Baruch Asher Kishanu B'Mitzosav, and every time a brach is born in the Shulchan Aruch, and they don't mention Shem HaMalchus, do we assume they don't make the brach Shem HaMalchus? The Shulchan Aruch never brings a bracha Shem HaMalchus. It's assumed that you add in Shem HaMalchus on your own when you say the bracha, and therefore it's unclear what the Rashban is talking about. When I was looking up who the Rashban was, so I see that he was not held in high regard by his contemporaries, this Rishlomo Tzvi Shek. I'll quote from him from the Tshuvos of Levushei Mordechai. He writes in Madura Kamen Yerodeya Simen Pei Ches. He says that he has very harsh words about him and his Sfarim. He says they should be put in Geniza, they contain Minus. The author claimed that his approach to understanding Agadatah was based on his dreams. So Levushei Mordechai says that his pshatim are poseach b'havalim u'mesayim behevel havalim. This is how we view this Rav. And he says, the author has no respect for Chazal. It's usher to daven from his siddur, and all of his sfarim should be burnt. Okay, the Minchas Elazar has similar words. The Tzitzel Yezer has similar words. So whatever about this, I guess this pshat fits into the mahalach of what the other Rabbanim felt about him. If you move into a house and you take off the old mezuzahs and you put up new ones, so the Har Tzvi in Yerodeil Reish Lamed Vav says everyone agrees you get a new bracha, but the him and the Shevet HaLevi are unsure whether there'd be a bracha if you simply took down the mezuzahs that are there and put them right back up. And on one hand, they're the same mezuzah. On the other hand, it's a new chiyuv, because you're a new person in the house. There's a new chavas hadar. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you take down the existing mezuzahs and check them, then now it'd be sufficient to make a new bracha. So maybe the advice is, if you move into a house with new mezuzahs, maybe you should take them off, have them checked, and then put them back up later with a bracha. Rav Yash, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Mincha Shlomo in the first tshuva. If you move into a house that already has mezuzahs, you don't have to have kavana, that now you're fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah. Since already being there is sufficient, you're being mekayim. The mitzvah of the Agar Balach in Perek Gimel says that if you do have kavana, though, you fulfill the mitzvah of lavdo b'chol levavchem, if you have kavana when you move into the house, for the new mezuzah. Finally, who is chayiv in mezuzah? Which is the last discussion here in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Brachos says, and daf chaf amabez, that nashim mevadim katan were pater and shman tefillin, and their chayiv in tefillah, mezuzah, and benching. The Gemara asks, isn't this obvious? The woman, since it's not zaman grama, she should be chayiv mezuzah. You might have thought that they're putzer because mezuzah is compared to Talmud Torah, and women are exempt in Talmud Torah. But the Mishnah tells us this is not so, and Rashi cites the important Gemara in Yuma that women also need arichas yamim. They also want to have the zechus of a long life, and therefore they should also be chayiv in mezuzah. Rabbeinu Tam says that when the end of the Mishnah tells us that regarding mezuzah, it's not including a katan. Children are not chayiv in mezuzah. They are putzer from mezuzah, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes over here in Sif Gimel, and the Mechaber adds that there is a mitzvah of chinuch when it comes to children as well, and the Tzitzel Yezer writes in Chelek Yud Dalid, Simen Ayin Hay, and again in Chelek Yud Ches Simen Lamed Gimel, that if a child puts a mezuzah up, you need to take it down and put it back up with a bracha. So there is no chinuch in having your children not fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah for you. What? She's chayav.
With a bracha?
Yeah. Sure. So the Aruch HaShulchan discusses in Reish Pei Vav something that we raised earlier in the year regarding a room in a house that is designated for the maid. So let's say you have a house, every room in the house has a mezuzah, but you have one room where the maid lives all the time. It's her room. So the Aruch HaShulchan says she is certainly chayiv in mezuzah, and he has a bit of a suffix, but he concludes that it's certainly that she is going to be chayiv min ha-Torah and mezuzah on that room. Rav Zilber in the Bir Halacha cites the Afike Maginim and Orachayim Simen Yud Gimel, who says that if a mezuzah falls down and the mezuzah belongs to an onen, someone who is putter in a mitzvos because they have not buried their relative yet, and they are putter in mitzvos, should they put up the mezuzah if the mezuzah fell down? So he says that it's putter, and the onen would not put up the mezuzah if it fell down. But if there's someone in the house who's around, so then they should put up the mezuzah and not the onen.